what I was doing. The title of this message is The Word of All Truth. And I tell you what, if you understand this, you're one in a million. Because people do not recognize this. And I appreciated what Tim had to say today about the fact that he hasn't even called it the Bible anymore. He calls it the Word of God. Because that's what it is. And anyway, I want to comment on a couple of things that I've said repeatedly. And I'd like to say that a man's teaching ability is limited to his own personal convictions. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he, the Bible says. Or the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. And I finally began to understand what that said. It is a man's spirit, the human spirit, is subject to the prophet. God's spirit is never subject to men. You know what I'm saying? We can't make God say what we want him to say. And so anyway, the human spirit is subject to the man. And I just wanted to comment here. It says that Jesus was a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And to those who are disobedient and stumble at his word. He's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to those who stumble at his word. Do you follow me? As such, if men have a doctrine that is not proven by God's word, is that not disobedience? Would that not be considered disobedience? And as a result, all that we claim to be as a Christian is based upon the Word of God. Everything that we claim to be. So every church, their foundation is the Word of God. And my question is, then, it's just like Joanne and I were talking before you guys came about the Trinity. You know what the Trinity is? That was one of the first unity through diversity structures that ever came into being. And Constantine had a major problem. He had a divided kingdom. And so in his quest or his desire to unify the kingdom, it was his idea to bring in the Trinity. Or it was, you know, it was paganism and Christianity. And but anyway, it tells us in Proverbs 21:29 that God directs the path or the way of the upright. And in Proverbs 3:6 it says, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. And in Isaiah 45:13, God says, I will direct the ways of the righteous. And in Proverbs 16:9, I want to say, the Lord directs his steps, or directed his steps. Now, in Ecclesiastes 10:10, it says, wisdom is profitable to direct. Wisdom is profitable to direct us. Wisdom. See, get wisdom. And in Isaiah 61:18, God says, I will direct their work in truth. In 1 Thessalonians 3:11, it says, let God direct your way unto us. I'm not sure what it says there. And anyway, in 2 Thessalonians 3:15, it says, may the Lord direct your hearts unto the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. And so anyway, The reason I wanted to read all of those is because we see a similar thing that we need to get. God wants to direct us. He wants to be in charge of this church. Now, I heard some phenomenal comments this morning, and being who I am, and I really want truth. I want reality. I want Christianity. I want to see it before I die. You know, remember, was it Simeon that was in the temple, and he prayed, and anyway, the Lord had promised him that he would see the Christ before he died? I want to see the presence and the power of God before I die. Do I have a right to that? I don't know. Do I have a right to want it? I don't see why not. And so anyway, God has opened a door of understanding into the identity of Christ that is major. But the first thing that we have to realize, and this is what we talked about with Glenn and Barb a little bit today, is the fact that the first thing we got to do is believe that this is God's word. And what Tim had to say, I think, was phenomenal, because he said he doesn't refer to it as the Bible anymore, because the Bible is something that lots of different religions have. You know, the Mormons have their Bible, and everybody has their Bible. But he says, no, this has become the Word of God. Is that a difference? Oh, yeah. And see, that is what has happened to me. So we have to believe that. Once we start believing it is the Word of God, then we can have faith to accept what it says. But until we believe that, then it is a mystery to us, and it will always be a mystery, and we will never understand. Get understanding, we are told. Now, I don't have any questions anymore about the identity of Christ. He's a man that God brought forth as an only begotten Son. He's like us, except he's only begotten. He's not exactly like us, and yet he is. He was born of a woman just like we were. Everybody was born of a woman. We can't get away from it. And so he brought forth an only begotten Son, which gives us the identity of the Son. And so then Jesus said, this is in 8:19, I thought it was 46. He says, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And then he says, of course, in 14:9, he says, he that sees me sees the Father also. Because he was the only perfect expression of the invisible God. Now, I'm using scriptures, but I'm just saying this. Okay, isn't that what it says? He was the expressed image of the invisible God, whose ways are past finding out, whose thoughts and ways are as high above the thoughts and ways of ours as the heavens are above the earth. And so why is it vital that Christ was and still is a man? Why is it so vital? You know what? Without him being a man, we have no eternal life. We have no blood sacrifice. We have no lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And the churches have bought into something that does not exist. God did not bring forth a spirit. It says he did not take upon himself the form of an angel or the nature of angels, but he took upon him the seed of Abraham. God purposely brought forth a man. So what happens then when we change the identity? And I thought, we can have all our Christmas songs and sing all of the songs we want. We can think all the things we want to think. But as long as that image is built in the hearts and in the minds of men, the God the Son image, we lose the mediator, we lose the what's that word? But we lose the identity. So he has to be a man, and we have to understand that he's a man, and we have to relate to him as a man. You know what? Everything in here says that, and that's why I'm going to say this again. I was made free as I listened to the scriptures, as I heard over and over and over all of these verses, Old and New Testament, that made Jesus Christ the man, Son of God. It made me free. And so I don't have to argue with a Trinitarian. He doesn't have anything to stand on, and he'll admit it. I don't even have to argue with today's version of the oneness, because all they have done is adopt the image of the Trinity in their minds, and they still have God or Christ as God. I have no problem with either one of them. They can go think what they want. I want to pursue what the Bible tells me is the truth, and, you know, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So when it says there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, can I be sanctified through that? That is the only thing I can be sanctified through. I can't be sanctified through false doctrine. I can only be sanctified through the truth. And so why is it vital? And, you know, I'm not positive of this, but wasn't the first Adam being groomed by God to be the finished product? Wouldn't you say he was?
I think so.
But he sinned. He fell short of God's glory. And so then because of that, instead of becoming the expressed image of the invisible God, I think that Pablo hit it right on the head one day. Remember when he said, I think the image left as soon as Adam and Eve fell? Is that the truth? I don't know. I don't know. I wouldn't build a doctrine on it, but I have a feeling that he hit it right on the head, and that Christ became the image, finally, the expressed image of the invisible God, and that God wants us to follow in and have the Spirit of Christ in us, just like was in Christ. Am I right? I don't know. It's better than any argument or anything else I've heard. And so, until the fullness of time comes, or came, when God brought forth the second Adam, who was the only one ever to fulfill the law and became the express image of God. And then one more comment. When you know for sure that God gives you direction, don't let any man ever talk you out of it. How do you like that? Remember the old saying that says, the man with an experience is never at the mercy of the man with an argument? Well, there's not much argument anymore if you believe the word. Once you believe it, and I've come to the realization that there's not a lot of people that believe God's word. They claim to, but that's not the truth. And you can pick them apart. I know some people that I think, you know, they really love God's word. They really believe God's word. Try bringing something that opposes what they think and see if they believe it or not. Show them scriptures that oppose what they believe and see if they believe what they believe. If they believe their doctrine or they believe the word of God. You know what, Charlie? We're going to get the chance. It might not be a good scene for a little while, but we're going to get the chance. And when I heard Barb today make that statement about getting it direct from God instead of secondhand, that did a number on me. And I listened to it, and I thought, you know what? She understands that. A lot of people don't understand it. John 4. Jesus went down to Samaria. The Samaritans understood, and this is what I quoted this to my grandson Brian, and told him about what happened in Samaria, how the men said, you know, we believed when you told us about Jesus, but now we really believe. Do you know why? Because we have heard him ourselves. And I thought, for the first time ever, I am hearing God through Christ, myself. Does that give me an advantage? Jesus told Pilate in John 18:37, everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. And you know what? I don't have a clue what he meant by all that. I don't know exactly what he meant. However, he only spoke what the Father told him to of all truth told him to say. And so therefore, all those that do hear Christ actually hear the word of the Creator through him. Right? Isn't that what we're hearing in John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? And so in John 15:15, Jesus said, all the things that I have heard, I have made known unto you. So as he is, so are we. Isn't that what the scriptures say? Or so we can be, whatever he is. So Jesus did what no man has ever done, even though he was created to be what he was. He was created to be this. He was the only perfect expression of God's image that has ever existed. There has never been another perfect expression of God. And Moses got upset with God. And because God, you know, Aaron and other Israelites made a big golden calf and upset God. And God said, Moses, get out of the way. I'm going to destroy all of these people. And Moses stood his ground and says, no, if you destroy all these people, what are the other nations going to say? You brought all these people out of Egypt, now you're going to kill them? And, of course, God wanted him to be the go-between, and to stand the mediator, to stand in the way. And he did. But anyway, he was the perfect expression. So in Colossians 1:15, we are told that Christ was the image of the invisible God. And in Hebrews 1:3, it calls Christ the express image of God's person. And so Christ expressed or spoke whatever the Father told him to say. See, we are told that God told Moses that he would put his words in his prophet's mouth, which was to be greater than Moses. A prophet like Moses, but greater than Moses. He was going to put his words in that prophet's mouth. And so, that one that he would raise up. So in Deuteronomy 18:18, he said that Christ would only speak unto men all that God commanded him to speak. And so Jesus comes along and he says, I only speak what the Father tells me to speak. Do we have an agreement? Do we have an Old Testament and a New Testament setting that say the same thing? That's what we have. Let me give you a mystery that everybody knows and yet nobody knows. God told us through Christ to become converted and thereby become as little children so that we can enter into the kingdom of God. And why? Well, little children are normally, I say this, you know, normally teachable and able and willing to learn, and as such, see, little children are learned, teachable. Today's society, mostly without godly ideals, knows that the little ones are inherently, I can't say it, but you know what the word means, teachable. Just by nature, they're teachable. And so, therefore, they need to brainwash the little ones while they're still young. Is that not right? I mean, they won't like my wording, but they brainwash them. And so they bring them in and they teach them there is no God right away. Get them started in the right track. You know, I know that this would be offensive to the educators, but so men know that by the great wisdom and prudence of educated science, falsely so-called, and that's what the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:20, science, falsely so-called, education. Men and women, they are able to shape and form young minds into carbon copies of whatever it is that the learned teach them. And, so that scenario is the world's approach to accept you become as little children. Isn't it? Get the little children into your school system. Begin by teaching them that there isn't such a thing as God, and that this all came by a Big Bang theory in the heaven somewhere. And the thing I always wondered is, where did the original ingredients come from to create the Big Bang? Well, we won't worry about that. We'll just take that all for granted. And so, hearing only the eternal word of God which is the only way that allows the Holy Spirit to teach and lead. As soon as we get into this other insurance, I'm going to have this eyelid lifted so I can see out of both eyes. I see either out of one or the other. And I can see out of both eyes. But when I'm trying to read, the eyelid drops or something, and it closes off part of my eye. And so that's why I read with one eye shut. But anyway, the only way the Holy Spirit leads and teaches is on converted minds that have the necessary faith in God and His eternal word so that it works. It only works if the mindset is right. And so the mind must be brought into the little childlike status, to a receptive stage, so that it will take God's word in His truth. We have to believe it's God's word. And this is, how many messages have I tried to preach on this area? Somehow we have to believe it's God's word. We have been taught to not believe it. I have too. And we think, well, the world teaches that it's not. Well, I've been there and that. I was in a college situation. I had two teachers or professors at the same time that were atheists. And I wasn't even a Christian, but they worked on me. They worked on the class to teach, to convince people that God's word was this is all phony. There isn't such a thing as a God. One of them died of a brain tumor, and the other one died of something else. They both died within 2 years of the time that we had this happen. Or at least one of them did. The other one died a few years later, I guess. And so anyway, we have to be able to take God's word in as truth. And I believe it. I don't have any doubts in my mind. I believe that this is God's word. Enough so that sometimes I find myself shaking and trembling at it. See, the world, with the devil leading it, is able to develop false values and educated dummies. How would that go over, Charlie? So on an ongoing relationship with God's word, with the Holy Spirit leading and guiding, will produce those who will express the thoughts and the ways of God. That's what's going to happen. I can see the time coming when Keith Gunn, if he lives long enough, is going to be expressing the ways and the thoughts of God, the thoughts and the ways of God. I can see it coming. Because that is all that I'm taking into my system. Wasn't that good what Barb had to say today? And so, I believe that has been God's plan from creation, and that is to produce images of Himself who only express His thought. If God created man in His image, would He create something that's not like Him? Or would He create something that's like Him? Would He create something that did not express Him? Or would He create something that did express Him? Does that take a Philadelphia lawyer? Or even a retired judge? I'm just teasing. Charlie just recently retired, so I gave him the business. But anyway, I love the guy. And so we have to be totally willing to let God do the leading. And therefore, we've got to be willing to obediently follow His leading. I say what I say based upon lots of scriptures. There's a lot of scriptures that tell us that God wants to lead and guide and direct us. To as many as are led by the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit not God? If He's going to send forth His Spirit, is that not part of Him? As such, I have come to the conclusion that faith, real faith in God's Word, is at an all-time low, even in the church structure today. And yet we must totally believe the Word of God in order to be saved, because we have to believe it. He that believes, isn't that what it says? He that believes. Jesus, they said, Master, what are the works of God? That you would believe on Him that God sent. Is that what it says? Is that or is that not salvation? In John 20:30, it says, many other things did Jesus do. However, these, in verse 31, John 20, verse 31, it says, these things are written, I mean, not church creeds and traditions, not a chance at all, that's what he's talking about. But he said, these things are written, not things that have been changed to confuse the readers and the hearers, but what has been written in the Bible is written so that we might find eternal life. What is the Bible via the Holy Spirit in it is so that men will believe that Jesus is the man Christ Jesus, and that by believing rightly in him, we might have life through his name. Isn't that what it says? I'm not doing good with one eye, but I'm doing okay. And as I see the things that are so plainly written, I think, how can anyone read and believe God's word and still embrace most of what is being promoted in church, in the church system today? How could you believe it? How can you believe the Trinity? You got to get out of the word in order to do it. And so Jesus kept asking the Jews, what does it say in your translation, you know, in your law? And I want to ask that to people who, you know, what does it say in your private interpretations? What does it say in your things that you go by? And as such, some of the interpretations are so far removed from God's word. I mean, like the Trinity. There's not even any basis for it. Nothing's in the scriptures. So that it would seem like men must have some other translation other than anything that I got. And I've got a number of them. When Don Burnett was asked to leave the Assembly of God, he was a teacher in the Assembly. He taught the Unfolding Revelation. And when they asked him to leave, Pastor Ewing got up the next Sunday and he taught a message on the Trinity. And it was the most pathetic thing I ever heard. He had nothing to go by. And so the first thing he started with, so help me, and Joanne will verify it, he started teaching that God is like an egg. That's the first thing he talked about. And I thought, I don't believe this. For one thing, I'm sure, God is not like an egg. You know, like the three parts of an egg. That's what God is. There's three different functions, but it's still just one God. And I thought, oh, who believes that? In this translation, this parallel New Testament translation I have, which doesn't include the King James Version, nowhere in any of these translations does it even hint at such a thing as a Trinity. It's not even a fathomable concept. It's not something that's in there anywhere. In fact, it opposes the whole teaching. And so, why and how and where did such a doctrine become so popular within so many churches, all, you know, all saying the same thing? You know, but I can smell a deception. The working of an enemy. John said, if any apostle or prophet teaches, and that's what he's saying, he says spirit, but he said many false spirits have gone, or prophets have gone out into the world. If any prophet teaches that Jesus came in any other way except in the flesh, he's a false prophet. That's the work of the Antichrist. That's what it says in the fourth chapter of 1 John. And I would say that any deception like this could be enough to send millions to hell because they have a wrong concept, an image built into their heads and into their hearts that will destroy their souls. Knowing who God is and who the Son is eternal life. That's what it says in John 17:3. And so, believing that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God is also eternal life. And receiving a love for the truth is also eternal life, isn't it? Am I saying anything out of context here? And being truly born of God's word and truth, incorruptible, is also eternal life. Isn't that what it says? And so living by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God is also eternal life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And of course, wanting God's truth more than any of our own personal conclusions is also leads towards eternal life. And that is probably why God hates pride, since pride in men elevates men to a position, you know, like Adam and Eve, where they ignore God and listen to the voice of weirdos. I can't for the life of me understand how Eve could possibly listen to a serpent. He must have had some other kind of a form. He must have been able to stand up on feet or something. And God made him into a form of a snake. Why would anybody listen to something hanging from a tree? That didn't make any sense. Unless Adam was a poor conversationalist. Now I know it's not even the fact that, you know, it's not over till the fat lady sings. I've said that before. I'm going to say it again. However, I am so thankful deep in my heart for the mercy and the grace of God that is turning letters of condemnation into spiritual truth. Letters of spiritual condemnation or of discondemnation into words of spiritual truth. Is that not what the Holy Spirit is doing? Without the Spirit, there is nothing that condemns more than this. With the Spirit, there's not anything that gives life more than this. It works on both ends of the spectrum. And so, I never dreamed that this Bible that I have read for years was actually made up of words that God Himself spoke. I don't know how could I have missed this all these years? He spoke it to men through the prophets and lastly through Christ. And as this truth sinks in and registers somewhere within inside of me, I see why men tremble at it. I'm beginning to tremble myself. I mean, I am too. There's times I tremble at this thing. I think, what is this? This is so awesome. It's so far beyond my comprehension. What is this thing? And because that has to mean that there is a realm of faith, of real faith, within people. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. However, the opposite of that would be, with faith, men can and will look into and enter a realm where only the living Son of God is able to let them in. Remember the vision that Twyla had? And in this church, and she saw in the corner somewhere this little white room. And some people had entered into it, and people were seeing it from the outside, and they wanted in, but they didn't want to pay the price to get in. They didn't want this wicked, mean old pastor hitting them over the head with a sword. Little did I interpret the dream to know that all it was the Word of God. Sharper than a two-edged sword. The Word of God, which is a sword of the Spirit. And so she saw this little room. And I have been getting a strange inward glimpse at this little white room that she saw in the visions, I don't know, 30 years ago? A long time ago. And if we do believe and move accordingly, we become what Peter referred to in 1 Peter 2:9 as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, which causes us or allows us to show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. I think we have some light dawning upon us. There's a brightness. How many people understand that the man Christ Jesus has been glorified, is in the heavens, and stands at the right hand of God? And when Stephen was being stoned, and he looked up and he made everybody angry, he says, I can see the heavens open, and I see the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. I never saw that till the other day. Verse after verse after verse. The Son of Man. Why didn't he say, I see the Son of God? Or God the Son? Because that's not what he saw. He saw a man standing at the right hand. A glorified man. And so, then men are made free. And that is the evidence that God's great mercy has and is putting them into a marvelous truth and therefore a light. See, the great mystery that God is and has been revealing to us is that the Bible actually is how it works. The Bible works. I think that for the most part, the Bible has been considered words to go by, but don't get carried away. You know, like my mother. When I got filled with the Holy Spirit out in Seattle, and I wrote her a letter, and I wrote to Clayton, and I wrote to Rodney, and I wrote to my mother, and so forth. I never heard from any of them. But you know what? I'd get all inspired, I'd write another letter. Kind of basically the same thing to all any of them. I would write another letter too, but those three basically. And one day I get one letter from my mother. And she says, just remember now, you got a family. Make sure you do things with your kids and whatever you do. Don't get become a religious fanatic. That was the letter I got. I don't think it was registered, do you? And anyway, and I lost track of where I'm at. Yeah, don't become religious weirdos. And so even most churchgoers try to keep a safe distance from the contents of God's Word. In fact, when I first... Yeah, this is what I was talking about. Yeah, keep a safe distance because you don't know what's going to happen to you if you get too religious. You don't want to get too religious, do you, Charlie? But you know what? Later on, my mother received the Holy Spirit and got baptized in Jesus' name. Her picture changed. Pilate had no idea what truth actually was. And like most other people, I didn't either. What is truth? You got a good question, Pilate. Is there an answer to it? However, by God's great mercy, faith has begun to come. And I begin to believe that Jesus, when he said in John 17:11, I think that's where it is, God's word is truth. No, John 17:17. Sanctify them in the truth. In your truth, your word is truth. I didn't understand that when I first heard it. How many times did I keep hearing that, you suppose, before I started to believe it? Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. Which is what? What is truth? Well, your word is truth. Sanctify them through it. But first you've got to get him believing it. You've got to first get him to believe that this word is your word. Do you follow what I'm saying? We have had a slow thing of causing people to not believe God's word. And if God can get people believing his word, he's got a power source ready to explode. And all he has to do is zap them with his Holy Spirit. And I tell you what, when deliverance came that night and the Spirit came on me, Vicky turned into somebody else immediately. One second I'm being intimidated. I'm going through the worst verbal abuse I've ever had. The next second she's trying to run and get away from me. She says, don't let him near me. Don't let him near me. Were you here that night, Charlie? Don't let him near me. I didn't know anything had happened. That spirit did. You know how that demon, he says, you're the Son of God. Why didn't people recognize him? Why did it take a demon to recognize him, who he was? Well, she saw something. She recognized it before I did. I didn't know what had happened. The Spirit of God had come on me and scared the heebie-jeebies out of her. Pilate had no idea, you know, what truth was, and I didn't either. And so when supernatural faith also caused me to understand what the existing Bible is, that the existing Bible is the actual words of God through Christ, I began to read and hear the Bible and experience its contents. A man with an experience. Now, the Bible says in the sixth chapter of Hebrews, it says to those that have tasted the good word of God, tasted, and the powers of the world to come, if they fall away, there is no something, what's the word?
No repentance.
I think that's what it says. If they have tasted. You know what we're doing? We're tasting God's word. And it tastes good. I like the taste of it. I didn't know you could taste it, but you can. And so I have begun to read and hear the Bible and experience its content. See, God wants men to experience His Word, to eat it and drink it, and to meditate on it day and night. However, until men get the faith that will cause them to do that, God's Word of Truth gets ignored and put in the good book to read category. And as such, whenever people treat the thoughts and the words of men on any relationship the same as the words of God, they are in unbelief and need to be converted. When we see the words of men, have we not done that? I have been as guilty as anybody else. You know, I read the book by Dave Wilkerson. It impacted me. That was a good book. I read it several times. I read his next book, and I read his third book, and I read his fourth book, and I read all these books by Dave Wilkerson. Impacted by him, and God used him to help me. But you know what? That was not the way and the truth and the life. He was still a staunch Trinitarian. So he had a good effect on a beginning stage. But the books right now have no position. They don't mean anything. And so, like Smith Wigglesworth, he was called the only book that existed that is worth reading is the Bible. That's what he said. And if he would have had a tape deck like we have or any machines that we have, he would have wore them out like we do. And so the devil, who knows all of this, has put within the hearts and the minds of many who think they have, you know, valuable Christian information to write about. He's put in the hearts and the minds of a lot of people to flood the market with enticing words of men's great wisdom. Am I right? Did anybody hear what I said? The devil has put within the hearts and minds of a lot of very smart people to flood the market with enticing words of men's great wisdom and intelligence, kind of the opposite of what Paul did, which manages to change the position of God's words of all truth to a place where it has to compete with divisive doctrines and theories and winds of doctrine. I read that book this morning. You know what? Maybe I should repent for even reading what I read in the Bible dictionary. Because I started to read in it and I thought, how can they come up with this? You know, they have no foundation, no basis, no bottom to, you know, nothing to go by. But they have turned the scriptures into something that they use to their own destruction. Isn't that what it says about twisting the things of Paul? Remember what Peter said? They've twisted the writings of Paul to their own destruction. And so, God has had great mercy on us, and we have to live in that mercy. And so, the words of God's creation can never be on any level even close to the one who created all things. The words that we speak. See, that's what Barb was saying today. I thought, what a phenomenal testimony. The word, what I tell you, is not on the same level as what you read and hear from God's word. It's not the same. I don't have the ability. I can give some insights and I can give some new some things, but what we got to do, if you don't get it yourself, you don't get it. If the Holy Spirit doesn't reveal it, it's not yours. And so, men come up with books that they refer to as Bible helps. I heard Jimmy Swaggart one day, and my sister Wadena used to listen to Jimmy Swaggart and you know, sent for a lot of his books. But he had books, and I can remember him calling them Bible helps. And at the time, it didn't mean much to me. But what they do is they become imitations of the Holy Spirit and therefore mislead people rather than help them. Do you follow me? It's Bible help. It's not a Bible help. The only Bible help we have is the Holy Spirit. He will take and translate it for us according to God's will, and which become imitations of the Spirit and mislead people rather than help them. As such, as good as it sounds to read commentaries, they do more damage than good. And all of these things become misleading substitutes for the Holy Spirit. And in fact, only any teacher not being led by the Holy Spirit becomes a demon-led substitute. I'm trying to win a popularity contest. An imitation for the Holy Spirit. As such, Paul, in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13, said, he's talking about false apostles, and he said, there are those who transform themselves into the apostles of Christ. They transform themselves. You look at them, oh, they're apostles of Christ. And it is said in verse 14, it's no marvel, since Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. And you know what an angel of light is? Revelation. He becomes revelation. And therefore, in verse 15, he also has ministers. Where? Where are these guys? Who are transformed into ministers of righteousness. And the devil's over them. Where are they? Do you have any idea, Bonnie? Jesus told the religious leaders, to their surprise and their anger, that they were of the devil. And my question would be, since there are so many similarities between the religious leaders of Jesus' day and those that we have in the churches today, who are those guys? Who is he talking about? Are they around us and we don't recognize them maybe? You know what it tells me to do? Be very careful. The Bible says that we are to know those who minister among us. Or does 1 John 4, 1 through 3 sort of give us a picture that nobody wants to see? Any spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. If he doesn't confess that, he's not from God. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. Does that mean anything? Is it kind of starting to? Is it bad that I keep bringing these same verses over and over and over, or is it good? The devil is an image builder. And through today's prominent doctrines, he has built an image within those thousands of people that does not nor cannot allow the revelation of 1 John 4 to make any sense to thousands of church-going readers. It don't make any sense. 1 John 4. Nope. Don't know what it means. Let's read 1 John 4. 3, 4. No, we just bypass this because it don't make any sense. And so it is absolutely necessary that we have the 1 Timothy 2:5 man Christ Jesus, and yet to present the truth from the book of all truths, God's word, concerning the true identity of God's only begotten Son, will make enemies. You want enemies or don't you? You want some enemies? I'll tell you, it will make them. I would guess that more people have been killed in the last few generations because they believed that Jesus was a man than from any other thing. You still want to believe that? If eternal life is based on it, you still want to believe it? In Galatians 4:16, Paul asked the Galatians, "Am I therefore become your enemies because I tell you the truth?" If the truth makes enemies, is it still better to have the truth? And especially if we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And especially if the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. And that's what it says just before that in 2 Corinthians. And so Jesus was born and sent to bear witness to the truth. How about his disciples? Were we born and sent to do the same? And those who should have recognized who he was hated the truth that he brought. And so every so often I hear somebody say, "Oh, do I ever go to a good Bible study somewhere?" And we were talking about it the other day. And I thought, remember what Jesus said? "Good master." And I thought, you found a good Bible study? He said, only God is good. You got a good Bible study? Are you sure? I found out that it is an anti-tongues Trinity church that they're talking about. So they're in this Bible study that's anti-tongues, and they believe in the Trinity. Is that a good Bible study? And then I realize they are suddenly being convinced that tongues are not for today, and that the man Christ Jesus is actually God the Son, or maybe his own Father. But does it really matter? Well, if the Holy Spirit was actually leading and guiding the teacher, then both theories would be reversed. See, the sword of the weapon of the Holy Spirit. Now, you know what happened in Topeka, Kansas, at about the same time that the Azusa Street Revival was going on. It was in that time frame somewhere. They went on vacation. It was about this time of year, wasn't it? It was over Christmas, I think. And they had a vacation, and the leader of this big Bible study, it was in a Bible college, I think. And anyway, he suggested, he said, "Why don't we all, while we're gone on vacation, just really seek or search out this thing about receiving the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues," never realizing what would happen. And so anyway, so they did. And when they got back, wasn't there some of them speaking in tongues? One woman or something, and pretty soon a lot of them were, and then that was united with a Pentecostal thing down in
Los Angeles.
Where was it?
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, yeah. See, does it really matter? And I thought today about, you know, we have been kind of negligent, and yours truly for sure. But we have people that really want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know what you do? You pray with them till they get it. Because the promise is to everybody. Isn't that what we do? One of the people, I know one person in this church that has got to be the best prayer warrior that I have ever seen. And he's retired now, and so there's no reason that we can't start having some of these things going on. Did I tell you? Do I have to say any more? No, okay. And anyway, I thought of Pablo. Pablo's been wanting to get filled with the Holy Spirit. You know what? Couldn't we pray with him long enough until he did? You know what happens when one person gets filled with it? It's like a magnet.
Catching.
It catches. Yeah, it's catching. And so does it matter? The sword of the Holy Spirit is God's word of all truth. And so when I stood at the back with a beating people with a sword, it was actually God's word. I didn't know it, neither did anybody else. And therefore, if anything is not easily supported by God's word, then we have to be careful. If it's not easily supported. But you know what? That's tricky. Because it takes the Holy Spirit to reveal. So I can sound kind of sassy, and I don't mean to be, but this is not as easy as it sounds. And so, is what I am saying the truth? Well, God has given to each one of us the right to decide, and so if we are wrong, if I'm wrong, then turn me off. Or maybe a lot of people have, I don't know. But if not, I don't know what I got here. See, God intentionally brought forth a man, a second Adam. And one who by foreknowledge God knew. Now, let's see if I'm right here. By foreknowledge God knew would become the perfect lamb sacrifice and fulfill all of the types. Did God know that by foreknowledge? Isn't that kind of what we're discovering? Didn't he kind of by foreknowledge know who we are? Did he know what we're going to do? And he would become well-pleasing in God's sight, and therefore, as a glorified man, he became, and this is the word I was trying to think of, he became our propitiation, which made things right between us and God. That's what the word means. He would become our mediator, who also makes things right between us and God. They both kind of mean the same thing. Propitiation, mediator, kind of mean the same thing. Our great high priest, who lives and reigns to make intercession for us according to God's will. Do you think he's doing that right now for us? If I'm right, and the voice I heard was actually the Son of God himself, rather than what I thought I was hearing. He was saying, if you want to find me, you got to look for me where I am. Because the only way you can find God is to find him first. He's the door, the way, the light, the life. And so, as a glorified man, he is the head of the church. He's a chief cornerstone. But he's a rock of offense and a stone of stumbling to those who are disobedient and stumble at the word of God because they are without the Holy Spirit. Who are these that separate themselves? Essential. Who have not the Spirit. Divisiveness is a sign of no Holy Spirit. So we have this unity through diversity. That's divisive. That's the evidence the Holy Spirit is not in it. Because the Holy Spirit was sent to lead and guide us into unity. And when I see the fourth chapter of Ephesians and what it says about the fivefold ministry, and I think people are patting themselves on the back and saying, well, we have the fivefold ministry. And I'm thinking, I don't think so. If you did, the Holy Spirit would lead and guide you into truth. You'd all become one man in Christ. You do all the things that it says in the. It says this is the purpose. This is what he. This is why he gave us this ministry. To those who do believe God and his word of all truth, Christ is precious and gracious, a lamb without blemish, foreordained before the foundation of the world, and has made a way for all who will believe God's word as is. He's made a way for all of those who will believe God's word as is. Let me read that in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, just real quick. The machine's still going, and I'm still a minute or so ahead of myself here. They don't happen very often. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, it says, here's why we have the fivefold ministry. For the perfecting of the saints, this is verse 12, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, try to fit the unity through diversity in here somewhere. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, okay, verse 13, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, verse 15, but will speak the truth in love, that we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. How are we doing? I'm not seeing much of that. But you know what? That's still his will. That's still what he wants.